I have long said that you shouldn't pay excessive attention to what already is, but instead look at the trends, because that's how you'll learn where we are headed. That holds true in polling as well as with policy. When this belief is applied to abortion in America, the trend reveals a growing lack of appreciation for the sanctity of life as state after state widens the window of opportunity for abortions to be performed. Here to discuss some of the more recent actions in states like Virginia, New York, and Rhode Island is the National Director of Priests for Life, Father Frank Pavone. Thanks for being here today, Father.
Hey, good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
PriestsForLife.org is a website to learn more about this issue, get involved, and find info to share, especially on your social media pages, because that is one of the ways that you can empower others with the truth and education that Priests for Life provide. Watching Delegate Tran in Virginia this past week, Father, talking about her abortion bill, which failed to get out of committee, I believe. I think what struck me was how almost robotic and free of emotion she was when she was describing what her bill would allow others to perpetrate on unborn babies. And it was just like, is that indicative of just the absence of emotion the pro-abortion people have for this matter?
Yes, there is a dehumanizing effect. If you know, the only reason these people can get away with pressing for legal abortion and even in the 7th, 8th, and 9th month of pregnancy is that they have to lie to themselves about the baby. Yeah, they have to dehumanize the baby. They don't even like to use the word baby. And if you dehumanize the child, you dehumanize yourself. And we saw this with Kermit Gosnell. I sat behind him in the courtroom during his trial in Philadelphia, and as many of our listeners may know, he's in a life prison right now for killing babies too late in pregnancy and even outside the womb. And sadly, that's what these kinds of laws would unleash. Yes, they're robotic, they're emotionless. And you saw also how she just reverted into the rhetoric when the Republican delegate asked her, you know, are we talking about right to the end of the third trimester and even if the woman is dilating? You notice how she reverted back, again, like a robot. Well, that would be a decision between the woman, her doctor, her physician. And the Republican said, yeah, I understand that. But is this what your bill would permit? He pressed her to the point where she had to say, yes, it would permit it, even if the woman is dilating. So we have to, each of us ask ourselves, you know, we haven't been so dehumanized, have we, that we can't react to this with the, you know, the anger and the horror that it deserves.
Tran later said that she misspoke because she didn't understand the bill. It was her bill. That was like the time when Charles Barkley said that his words were taken out of context, out of his autobiography.
Right. These people have, you know what, they have nowhere to hide. And I think that's why we see this trend, as you rightly point out. You want to look at where are the trends. Well, the fact is, the trend in our country overall is against late-term abortion. The polling is against it. People want babies protected in the later months of pregnancy, even when they identify themselves as pro-choice. And laws are being passed, both on the state and federal level, that would protect babies later in pregnancy. So I think what we're seeing here is the other side has nowhere to hide anymore. They know they're on the losing side of this. America is waking up about late-term abortion. And so their strategy is, hey, the best defense is a good offense. Let's go forward and let's just blatantly say we want these abortions throughout pregnancy, and let's label that as a good thing, and let's try to take the stigma out of it. I think that's what their strategy is, but I am confident they're not going to succeed in that.
One common trend I've seen between the legislation that was attempted in Virginia, what's happened in New York as well as Rhode Island, is the claim is, well, the potential for late-term abortions, that's going to be based on a series of conditions. But if you look at the wording of the legislation, all three states, it's so vague that if a woman decides, well, you know, I don't think I can handle being a mother, that could be justification for a late-term abortion.
That's exactly right. And this is where people have to realize this was unleashed on us by Roe v. Wade in 1973 and Doe v. Bolton, its companion case. Because if you look at those, and, you know, lawyers have written about this for decades, the way that health is defined, I mean, Roe allowed abortion throughout pregnancy. And they said the state could restrict it in the final 3 months, but they cannot if the abortion is needed for a woman's health. But then the question then obviously is, well, how do you define health? Well, those decisions are very explicit how they define it. And Doe v. Bolton says it includes all factors, psychological, familial, and the woman's age. So in other words, when the vagueness in fact, part of what Virginia was trying to do was to put more vagueness in the law, because sometimes, you know, they'll say, well, health means, you know, a major bodily function is irreparably damaged. Well, okay, then you could, that's something you can put your finger on. But if you leave it to in a vague, well, if it impairs her health, well, does that mean if she says, hey, I'm too young to have a baby, or I already have too many children, or my parents are against this, they're going to throw me out of the house? Those are not medical reasons. Those are social reasons, serious reasons, yes. They never justify abortion, but they're social reasons. These people are trying to put that under the category of health, and it's the exception that swallows the rule.
To our Father Frank Pavone, who is the National Director of Priests for Life, priestsforlife.org is the website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Probably little known to too many people, there are 8 states plus D.C. which have no limits on abortion. Alaska, Colorado, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, New York, plus the District of Columbia.
Yes.
For people who are so proud of the position, I would wager that the vast majority of people here in New Jersey don't even know that the limits are non-existent when it comes to abortion in the state.
They don't know, and I think that's, you know, that is where we can draw good out of evil here. As we see these things happening, like you said at the outset of this segment, I hammer social media, talk to your friends, relatives, and coworkers. Pastors should be preaching this from the pulpit. Let's inform our fellow citizens, because you don't even have to argue at this point that, oh, this is immoral or this should be illegal. Before you even get into those moral, legal, and philosophical arguments, just equip people with the facts and let them absorb this, that these abortions are being allowed all through pregnancy. You know, we at Priests for Life did a series of phone calls, and people can listen to them online. We have a special site, exposeabortion.net, and people can listen to phone calls. We had a caller dial into these states that you just mentioned and ask for an abortion. She said she was a healthy mother carrying a healthy baby at 30 weeks of pregnancy, and guess what? In every case, they schedule the abortion for her. They said, come on in next week, you'll be 32 weeks along, but we can do it. And she was explicit that she was healthy and the baby was healthy. I mean, just, I think if our fellow citizens just know that this is what's going on, and most people have enough of a conscience to realize that this cannot be allowed.
I think the latest film regarding Kermit Gosnell, who I had the authors of, yes, the book, which led to that film, I think that's, yes, made a big difference too, because if you look at the fact that film made the top 10 in the box office and as a DVD sale is doing tremendously well, I think that film was going a long way for the pro-life movement.
I thank you for bringing that up. I worked with Phelim and Ann on getting that film going, and you know, they came to me and to other pro-life leaders for consultation, and they said to me, as I'm sure they have said many times publicly, you know, we didn't know anything about this issue. We were awakened. We were stirred as we heard the story of these late-term abortions, and that led them to really make a very, very big contribution to our movement by creating that film, which I hope all our listeners will go and watch. As you say, now it's available online. Very powerful, and it's not gory. You know, it doesn't make people see, you know, the blood and the gore of abortion, but it brings people up close enough to the reality to realize, wow, this is really barbaric, and we cannot let this continue.
Two facts just to leave this segment with: if some of the abortion laws in many of these states were applied to dogs, there would be arrests for animal abuse.
And sure would.
Last count, there were over 16,000 late-term abortions in the most recent year. That's more than the total number of people in America killed by gun violence in the streets. If those two statistics don't compel you to learn more and become more vocal about life, then I quite frankly can't come up with much better than that, other than to direct you to the website for Priests for Life, which is priestsforlife.org, to learn more the reality of all sides of the issue and to become more proactive in the sanctity of life. We've been talking with the National Director of Priests for Life, Father Frank Pavone. Father, thank you for the continued work that you do and for being here today.
Thank you for your work as well. God bless.